Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a lovely author and poet with me. She is Joy Schmidt. Joy is the author of Dreams of the Heart, Volumes 1 and 2, book compilations of poems about love, life, loss, and inspiration, and the book Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket. Humanitarian efforts are very dear to her heart, and she often volunteers and donates to a variety of organizations like Save the Children, the Red Cross, and efforts to help the homeless, among others. She is also a writer for Kids on the Porch, a TV show created to help prevent bullying among children and teenagers. Currently, she is contemplating a new direction for a book series, and you can learn more at her website, www.joyschmidt.com. And after having read her poetry in her book, Dreams of the Heart, I've been waiting to share her and her work, so let's get going. Welcome to the network, Joy.
Thank you very much, Pat. Very happy to be on your show.
Well, I am very happy to have you here. I've been looking forward to this actually all day long, so I'm glad we're I'm glad we're together. Well, now, before we find out about your books, let's find out a bit about you, because after reading your work, I had a sense that what I read is you, and I can feel some hurt and sadness and loneliness, and at the same time, inspiration. So if it's all right with you, would you mind sharing a bit about who you are?
Definitely. An interesting question, because it's like, where do you begin? But I guess what I would say is, you know, one thing that a lot of people that are close to me know is that I was an abandoned baby. I was actually found on the steps of a police station in Seoul, Korea, and I think it's kind of interesting, because I think over time, it's probably part of the reason why I've, you know, always had a dream to be a writer. I was very much inspired by a well-known, you know, movie series called Anne of Green Gables, where the girl was actually, an abandoned child, and she was adopted. And what's interesting is that she actually became a writer, and she was actually brought to her home in a horse-drawn carriage that had brown horses, which is ironically my favorite animal, and I didn't realize that till I saw the movie again as an adult. I saw it as a child, but it's just interesting how much the things we watch growing up or read or anything affect who we are as an adult. So I think it was the first movie I saw that made me really, you know, feel good about being an abandoned baby, and then on top of that, inspired me to, you know, be like, keep going after my dreams. And I think that's why I even try to inspire, because I feel like, you know, once you go through some of the toughest things and come through, then you show your, you know, other brothers and sisters in Christ that, you know, they'll be okay too, that no matter what, we'll always be okay.
Wow. What a story. And then did you have a family after that? Did you have adoptive parents?
Yes. That is, unfortunately, some situations are not always the most simple to explain. But I believe through God, has been helping me a lot. I was adopted by a family. Sometimes, you know, situations are not as, you know, picture perfect as we would hope them to be. But there's still love. And, you know, you just kind of make your family in the world as well. Like the Bible tells us that we're supposed to, you know, find our brothers and sisters in the world and stay strong and help support one another and keep each other going.
Wow. Well, you certainly are a beautiful person. I could tell that by your work. And I would imagine that especially as a poet, it would be difficult to write poetry about that which you have not experienced or felt, thus making your work autobiographical.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true, yes.
Well, then what was that aha moment, if there was one, when you knew you had to put pen to paper or fingers to computer?
Well, you know what's interesting? When I was a little girl, for some reason, I would get in trouble for for having my flashlight under my covers trying to finish the last book that I was. So I've always had a love for reading. And then even when I was a little girl, I tried to write some books. I made like one called like The First Pizza and The First Cat. And I actually drew pictures and made the binding. And so I think I've always had a love for the written word, and then Shakespeare, and just the way he could say something like, you know, oh, but if I were a glove upon that hand and I could touch thy cheek, like stuff like that, where someone could write as if they were painting a picture with just a few words. And I thought that was just one of the most beautiful forms of art. Mm-hmm. And so I guess naturally just love, and because I love reading as it is, I love reading. So maybe that's probably why, you know, they say do what you love, mm-hmm. and it'll show in your work.
Right. So why poetry versus a novel or a short story?
Well, actually, someone once gave me advice. They told me that the best writers write something every single day, because it helps get the writer, it helps someone get their comfortable with their own writer's voice. So basically, I would, you know, I would journal, but I would also write poems, because for some reason, and probably because I was influenced by some musicians too, because poetry is similar to a song, because I have had people tell me my poems sound like songs, some of them. So I think that it was a way for me, as you said, these poems are written from my life, so it was a way for me to kind of, you know, take whatever I went through in life and make it beautiful experience, rather than like, oh, I went through something and someone broke my heart or someone did this or some, and turn it around so that. And what was interesting too is that through that, I believe, you know, I'm talking a lot about God, but I believe that's the reason why I'm even here standing telling you about all this stuff, is because I believe he found me, because I was, you know, not, my family had stopped going to church when we were like when I was in the third grade, and I started writing the poems, and a lot of them were about God, angels, blessings, and it wasn't like I was going to church. And then some Christian magazines came and asked to publish them. So I never openly said I was Christian or anything, so I truly do believe God finds his children. He found, you know, he found me, he finds you, he finds us, and then helps keep us safe by putting good people like you, like, in our lives, that we just stay safe and only his good message is lifted up. That's what I believe.
Oh, you are so inspiring. And that's what you are. And that's what I love about you. When I read your poetry, I felt, wow, I cannot possibly put into words what you did. And I think that's what's so powerful about your work, that you capture what other people are feeling but don't know how to go about expressing in a word. Where do you go, or how is it that you are able to express such emotion in words?
I think, you know, and I wondered that myself, and then I thought, you know what? When you look at a painter, for example, you think, how did the painter decide to, you know, put the flowers in the arrangement that they did, or make the sky look a certain way, or how did that dancer freestyle, like dance on the floor? They hear a new song and they do this amazing new, you know, dance routine. And I believe it's just because whatever you're, or like a runner or a swimmer or someone who's very adept at some sort of skill, the more that they're immersed in it, the more that it becomes natural. And it's almost like, because those poems, and this isn't, this is just to say what exactly happened. Those poems, each one was probably written within 5 minutes because it was from my mind, free flowing. But it's kind of like when you look at a person who hears a new song and all of a sudden they get up and do this amazing dance routine because they've been so immersed in how to do different free-flowing moves. They've watched enough videos. They've, you know, had dance instructors, or maybe the music itself, they love the music so much their body just naturally moves to the music. So that's kind of how I feel like with the writing, because it wasn't always like that. It took progression of me being able to just continue to keep writing, keep, you know, reading stuff, listening to great music, being inspired. I'll tell you this real also, that I read something about this thing called collective consciousness.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of artists who have that aha moment, and people think, oh, you know, the artist is just, you know, some enigma or something. But basically what they were explaining is that throughout the day, everyone has moments where you might see a beautiful sunset, you might see a cute little adorable child, you might see, you know, a dog, and you might see some, and these collective things come together into like almost being poured into like a little cup of water. And once that's filled, then there's the cup is filled with inspiration, and then there's that aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's why a lot of times people have those moments. It's just because they've had those, they had enough of inspiration that comes. So basically saying that anyone, because God gave us all these abilities, anyone
mm-hmm.
with enough time, practice, and love for anything that they're really trying to go towards will have those natural moments in whatever it is that they're doing, you know, as long as they really are immersed in it and really love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
No, that's very inspiring. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking about how so many people are so tied to technology and their phones and, you know, texting, that no one really is paying attention and looking inward and allowing themselves this kind of an opportunity. So I hope that our conversation today might just turn on a little light for some folks to.
Definitely, yeah, because I think a lot of people, you know, the ones that aren't going after their dreams have just, you know, either maybe not had enough support around them, or, you know, have just, you know, because people sometimes think, oh, well, you know, they are not going to be the ones or whatever, but you know in your heart that anything, if you start from point A, you'll always get to point B if you just keep going. Mm-hmm. It's like the turtle and the hare. Just keep steady and you keep going towards whatever goal and it will happen. It just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, I love you.
Thank you very much.
Well, now, as you were writing these and it came time to think about publishing them, did the thought ever cross your mind where you thought, nah, this is too personal, I can't put it out to the public?
The only thing that occurred to me about was I actually wrote a full novel mm-hmm. on my life, because, of, you know, I did kind of mention things weren't always picture perfect. So, but I thought, you know, that sort of thing, because I do still, I love my adopted parents. Everybody has gone through whatever they've gone through. So I would never want to, you know, you would never want to do anything to make anyone look bad
sure.
in any way, because I've made mistakes, you've made mistakes, we've all made mistakes. But so for me, what I did notice is that people heal from feeling like someone is sharing something that they went through, that they survived.
Mm-hmm.
People heal through, like, you know, because a lot of times people won't even get into a relationship, because they're afraid they're going to get their heart broken. But, you know, that's part of the risk of life, you know. But with time, you know, people learn more and more what is, you know, for example, like, say someone wants to be in a relationship, their best friend is typically the person that teaches them the best way to be in a relationship, because that's a friend. You know, it starts with girlfriend, boyfriend. And so, because a lot of times people are like, oh, I have to follow these dating rules, or I got to, no, it should be natural. It should be a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the whole point is that I believe that I put it out there because you know in your heart that if you have a friend, that, you know, it's like sharing your heart with the world. Why? The only thing we heal from is true, natural human connections. And because, as you mentioned, you know, society is now more technology and all this stuff, and people are not interacting as much in person because of those things, putting something where it's a true situation that people and that you're still standing, to let them go, hey, you know, if I go on a date with someone, they break my heart, I can still survive through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I
or
do.
If I try to go for a dream, look at, you know, what was it, Abraham Lincoln, he ran for so many things and failed until he won the president of the United States of America. So it just is a way to help inspire people to be like, no matter what they go through, whether they, you know, it's just a lesson, so that the next thing that comes their way is going to be even better.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And so what's very interesting about this is that you talked about being a friend. Do you feel like you can be a role model of sorts for others who read your work?
It's funny, because with time, it's almost like, you know, you have to be one. If you're in the public eye, if you're a responsible, caring person and you love people, you have to be. That's why I did not mind pairing up with some, like Kids on the Porch, for example, which is, you know, a show to prevent bullying amongst kids, because that's one of the biggest issues we're dealing with now because of all the cyberbullying and all that stuff. And because I feel like if we truly want the world to be a better place, we have to be, as Mahatma Gandhi said, we have to be the change that we want to see in the world. We have to stand up and be a positive influence and be the type of person that our children, like, that a child would be like, wow, like, I want to grow up and be like that person. And not necessarily like exactly like me, because, you know, there's a, you know, we're all unique, but meaning like a person that is only trying to put good into the world and not doing any of the other stuff that is not positive to the world. So basically, I think that if anyone is a public, in the public eye, and truly loves someone, they are already a role model. You know, truly loves the public, then you do, you are a role model. I'm a role model, you know, because we're in the public eye.
Right, and you have a responsibility with that as well. Yep.
Exactly.
So tell us about the book then, Dreams of the Heart.
Well, what's interesting about the Dreams of the Heart book is that I never thought I was going to publish poetry. I actually have had this dream of publishing a novel series for forever. And then a lady, a publisher, actually found my writing online because, you know, this is another tip for some writers. For me, you know, it took a while to build up my confidence. So by, to build up my confidence, I would, you know, publish some of my writing in writing forums that work for free, no money or anything like that. And then I have, you know, my peers read my work, and I would read their work, and I'd be, and then I got confidence because I'd see, oh, you know, really great writer read my stuff. Then, you know, I must, you know, have some good writing. And then from there, it's stages. But anyway, so then I, because of that, I was putting a lot of writing out on the internet, and a publisher found my work and asked me to, if they could publish my writing. And I thought, well, I have all these poems already. Might as well just, you know, touch them up a little bit and put them in a book together. But then, you know, and then once that happened, I was like, something is happening here. I feel like this is actually, and now I'm starting to think that maybe that was God's, you know, use for me, I guess, for lack of a better word, but in the fact that maybe I was supposed to write these books for him to shine light on his glory, because, like I said, the poems I was writing were about God and angels, and I wasn't going to church at the time. So if he chooses you, he, you know, writes through your hand, you know, and puts out there what he wants the world to, you know, and feel good about, you know, love and blessings and miracles. And I, anyhow, this is how you know I'm a writer, because I can keep talking on.
Well, that takes me to my next question then. Why book two?
That's perfect. Well, yeah, book two was basically for the same reason, because there were still more poems that I had written. And plus, I thought, well, a lot of times people, in order for something to become memorable, I also read that, and this is, you know, something for writers, they said something about, you know, you have to keep writing in order to, and so I wrote because there were more poems, more experiences, and it just felt natural. I guess basically for me, it's been anything that felt natural, like even the Kids on the Porch, that was a natural thing that happened. Basically what had happened is, you know, I was doing a book modeling for this electric vehicle company, you know, so green battery-charged mopeds. And then I was on, they did a commercial for KTLA Morning News. I met Gail Anderson. This is what I'm talking about being natural. So then I was friends with her on Facebook. I found something that she had posted saying that there was a place to give free food for Thanksgiving, donate food. So I actually went to the place, and that's where I met Raina Ray, who is the producer of Kids on the Porch. That's where we were donating the food. I went there, I met her. She told me that her writer had moved to Texas. So we hit it off right from the beginning, like friendship. And then from there, she said I could, you know, write. You know, so I've written a couple scripts for her. And that's basically what I mean by, like, naturally, you, it's almost like you let God just, you know, control your footsteps, and you just go in the direction that you're living your life, and then you happen to meet these people, you know, meet these people that I guess are, were meant to be in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it was such a good, organization and concept, that that's why I, you know, I wanted to be a part of it, because it was so, you know, just a good message for today.
Absolutely. I love how life takes you in the direction you're supposed to be. And like you say, you were just, you were there delivering food, and then all of this happened. So it was not a random situation.
Yeah, it's like you live your life, and then, so that's why, like, you know, even the book series, it wasn't planned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God probably planned it, but it wasn't planned by me.
It wasn't like, your plan.
I was planning on writing my novel series, so.
Well, now, I'd love for you to select a few pieces to read for us today.
Okay, perfect, for sure. So the first one, actually, when you asked that came to mind, is called You Are the Light of the World, inspired by the Bible verse. And it starts like this. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Turn to God, for he is your Savior. He is your Father, your life, and your light. When you choose to walk with him, all that is righteous returns once again. Live not for any one thing, but for everyone's dream. Live for the chance to inspire, give life to others. Live for the moment to spread love and joy. For it is by divine intervention alone that you breathe in and breathe out, that the light of day continues to shine from within, even when you feel without. You are the body and spirit of all the gentle hearts you meet. You are the song and melody of every symphony you create. You are the light of the world.
Absolutely lovely, just like you.
Go ahead.
Yes, please, another.
I like this one because it's about survival. The miracle of life. When under the moon, a crimson river cut through, and the pale night has somehow forgotten you, there is the familiar shiver, the night air so cool. It calls the spirit to attention. It reminds the heart that a love so true forever blooms. For it is unlike the wounded foot to remain scarred, to remain maimed incurably hard. For, like the mighty oak and the rich green vine, survival is an insurmountable prize, a sacred treasure to find. Indestructible, unbreakable, the roots dig deeper, branching out unshakable, as they stretch and reach for the gift of light, the nourishing blessing, the miracle of life.
What a beautiful message. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Wow. Wish we had all day. You could read the entire book to us.
But, you're so kind. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pat. I'm so grateful for this interview. You don't know how grateful I am.
Oh, well, so am I. Like I say, I was looking forward to it today, because after I read your work, I thought this is someone I want to get to know. Well, now your other book, Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket, is a bit different in that it's inspirational and some fun quotes that people can use every day, almost like positive affirmations, which are a huge part of my life. I have something right here. Let me read it. It says, "You can do it if you believe, see the picture." Something my dad wrote about 30 years ago. He's been gone for quite a while, but it's just on a little scrap of paper. And
what was it again?
He wrote,
can you repeat this?
Yes, he said, "You can do it if you believe, see the picture."
I love it.
Yeah, that's on my desk. I have positive affirmations all over my house. Everywhere you go, there's little cards. I think it was Louise Hayes that did these positive affirmation cards. And someone gave them to me as a gift. And you know, even if you don't know that you're taking that in, subconsciously you're reading that and feeding yourself positive things and positive energy. So if you would, maybe just share a few of your favorites with us from the book, Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket.
Wonderful, yes. So it is definitely a different version of the other books. It's more of the quote from the book. Basically, when I was writing Dreams of the Heart, volumes 1 and 2, I realized that there were a lot of those quotes, like Pat mentioned that her father, you know, has positive affirmative quote that he wrote. And I realized that most people in the rush of day, you know, they want to have something that's very memorable, but will help inspire them. Like even, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it. Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Shoot for the moon and you'll be among the stars. People just like really inspirational things. Kind of like getting your little B12 shot, a shot of energy that is good for the soul to hear. Because even the Bible says kind words are like honey. So basically, what I realized is that, yeah, there were a bunch of those types of quotes in the Dreams of the Heart poems. So, for example, that's why the book is called Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket, because that's the name of one of the poems in Dreams of the Heart. And then there's that quote. There's another quote like, and blessings unto you, dearest angels, be not ever blue, for he has always loved you. And that's another poem from Dreams of the Heart, but that one line. And then the vision is to, you know, make it so that people can remember them all the time, mm-hmm. so that in their day, you know, for a second, if they feel down, there's a new quote. Just like you said, like, I love inspirational quotes. That's part of the reason why I even wrote the book, because I surround myself with them, read tons of Bible verse quotes, tons of things that just keep me going all day so that I'm feeling positive. And so there's another one too, for example, like a smile to replace the stars. That's kind of more of a Shakespearean type, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to say that our smiles, the smile of a baby, the smile of your best friend, the smile of your mom, the smile of someone you love is so much more beautiful than anything in the world,
mm-hmm.
basically. It's a smile to replace the stars. It's something just like how Shakespeare would be, you know, oh, if I were, you know, glove upon that hand, just something that just tells someone how important they are to you.
Oh, I love this. Almost at a loss for words. So how then has being a poet changed your life?
You know, I think it actually was interesting, because they say that if you listen, God will show you your purpose in life. And I've said this before, but I truly believe that all we're meant to do all day long is to exchange energy, which is love, which is God, because that's the only thing that will save us. And so basically, after I did it, I've even been kind of contemplating the novel series. Like, I've been thinking about, you know, doing a different type of series, book series, just because I'm starting to realize, you know, I've had so many people tell me, you know, just because you might have a specific plan in mind, God has a specific plan in mind for you already. So I guess the writer part was that I knew I was going to be a writer and an author, but maybe what I was actually going to write, he's actually redirecting that for mm-hmm. me. So for me now, it's become this thing where I'm actually becoming much more excited about putting more focus on the Dreams of the Heart and the Joy in the Pocket, because I think the message and the idea behind it is so good that it will be something that people will be saying, you know, oh, keep Joy in a Pocket, because it is a positive message. It's not about me. It's about God and what he wants us to do, which is to say, to know that we've got love nearby and to keep happy, because it's, the Bible says, a cheerful heart is the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Staying happy, being surrounded by, completely protected by love, the armor of God, those things. And that's the message in the book, is so that people, when they're reading it, you know, part of the reason why I wrote it was for myself, because it helped me feel like I could get through anything. But because it helped me do that, I thought, well, it could probably help other people feel that way. Because when they read it and they hear words like, oh, you know, God is always on your side, God's always going to protect you, it's healing to the people out in the world that might be alone, might think no one cares about them. And then they're reminded that God is always there to love them and take care of them, and not, there's nothing they should ever worry about, basically.
Wow. Keep Joy in a Pocket. I'd like to keep you in my pocket and just can inspire us all day long.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep Joy in my pocket. Oh, my gosh. Do you think that... You're making me laugh. Do you think everyone has a bit of poetry inside of them?
I do. I actually, there's a quote that I love that says, at the touch of love, everyone becomes a poet. Mm. And I believe that's true because at the end of the day, the Bible does say those that have hearts like children are the ones that will get eternal life, which is heaven. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but basically that's the idea behind it. And at the end of the day, when we were children, we got up in the morning, we went and colored with our friends, we went and played soccer with our friends, whatever we did, we were just full of life, we were excited, oh my gosh, we learned a new vocabulary word or whatever it was. And so basically it's when people feel happy, when people feel at peace of mind, they're more able to do those things that they did when they were children. And that's another reason for the book, because to keep people's mind on peace, things comforting thoughts rather than what the world, because the Bible does say a third of mankind is going to be, unfortunately, you know, destroyed, which means that we are affected by the ones that are, you know, not in the same mind frame as God's children. So because of that, you know that you want to keep reminding people through God that they're not alone, that there's hope, and that, you know, basically we all are supposed to have that heart of a child, be happy and joyful, which keeps us young and alive. Mm-hmm. It keeps us being kind to one another. You know, children will, you know, even if they're wrong, most children, when they have a heart like that's pure, they'll apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, versus a lot of times people have harder times once they get in the world and it's harder to, you know, apologize, or it's harder to this and that. And I've made mistakes and here and there, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's just to try to inspire and help people just feel what God wants us to feel, which is peace of mind and be happy and just know that we're only supposed to have good things coming into our lives.
Amen to that. And it's never too late to start. I think that's also a good thing to bring up.
Very true. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember I went to a class, an extension class, at UCLA, because I was thinking about being a lawyer at one point, and it was a paralegal program. And there was a lady, she was like a grandmother in there. And she was just like, you know, I just thought I wanted, so at any time. And then you look at people like Angela Bassett, who's, you know, almost 60, and she looks phenomenal because she keeps herself healthy. Probably eats right. And so when you see all these positive things, it's to remind people that, hey, the Bible says the best medicine is joy, happiness. And I'm not saying my own name, but a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart. Like, it's to be happy. So to remind people just how to get back to being happy and laughing and just being joyful, because that's what is going to save us, being happy, being joyful, and just being loving to one another and kind to one another.
I agree with you, and I'm hoping that folks take heed as to what we're talking about today. So I know that there's probably a whole lot more we could talk about, but as we begin to wrap up, is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about today?
I guess I could say where they could find my book. My books are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but the central place they can find them is my website, which is, you know, joyschmidt.com, and my name is spelled J-O-I-E, and then it's S-C-H-M-I-E-T, and then .com. And so if anybody is interested in, you know, reading them, or, you know, anything on my page that inspires them, my Facebook is facebook.com, and then it's / and I have PS, like postscript, like when you write a letter, so I put
P.S.
and then Joy Schmidt.
Okay. Your website, again, it's Joy Schmidt, and let me spell that again as well. It's J-O-I-E S-C-H-M-I-D-T, joyschmidt.com. And her books are Dreams of the Heart, Volume 1 and 2, and Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket. Joy, I really have no words for our conversation today. I really don't. You are a lovely, lovely human being. You are inspiring. You're beautiful. And your wisdom is so much appreciated. I really have no more words to say to you other than thank you.
Thank you. I'm grateful.